welcome back to another episode of Force Proximity. I'm Jonathan, and with me is Megan. And this episode is going to feature It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. And I think this one should get interesting. Several hot takes from Megan.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I'm going to take the Smut Report blog's phrase and say this is going to be a dueling review.
Oh my God.
Not that we review, it's just a book club, but.
What does a dueling review mean?
Dueling opinions. Our opinions are contradictory.
I don't know how contradictory they are, because we did talk about it a lot pre-show.
Yeah.
And
it's hard not to, because I had a visceral response to this book.
You sure did. You sure enough did.
I needed a trigger warning for this book. I'm serious.
Okay.
I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, this is how it feels to be triggered. Only I'm not triggered by, you know, violence, domestic violence, like rape, torture, like whatever there is horrific in the world. I'm triggered by basicness. And it really upset me. So we'll get into that later.
Yeah. And if you hear papers rustling, it's because I took notes and I'm using my notes. And I know that bugs you, Megan, but I have to use my notes.
It doesn't, just try to turn quietly and then it won't.
I just can't do that. I have to violently turn
the page. You do not have to violently turn the page. You don't.
All right. Well, this book, I mean, doesn't make any bones about it, is inspired by Schitt's Creek.
Which is, I think, refreshing because
it says it on the cover.
We know as authors, we get inspiration from things.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And a lot of times it comes out later. Oh, yeah, by the way, this was inspired by, or blah, blah, blah. This character was inspired by so-and-so from so-and-so. But I've never actually heard a book marketed.
That's like reverse.
It is, because usually, okay, so if you're an author and you're pitching to agents, you usually come up with two books or items in the media. It can be a movie or TV show or podcast or whatever. Usually come up with two things. Like, if you enjoyed Schitt's Creek, you'll love It Happened One Summer. And that's how you market your work to agents. Mm-hmm. And that's how, if you're doing a Twitter pitch, that's what it is. Like the book I'm writing now is going to be like a Great British Bake Off, but with dead bodies. So I'm saying that it's instead of baking bread, they're embalming corpses, but it's the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
So, but usually that's an aftermarket thing, like, and it's just for marketing. I've never heard like an author flat out say, I was thinking of Schitt's Creek when I wrote this.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because we love that show. Do you want to do the trivia first or you want me to do my blurb first?
I want to do the trivia first.
Okay. So the trivia is Schitt's Creek trivia.
Yeah.
Because the book is inspired by Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
All right. So let's go.
This is from BuzzFeed. First, why did Johnny originally purchase the town of Schitt's Creek? As a joke for Alexis, as a joke for David, as a wedding gift from Moira, as a location for a future Rose video store.
I was going to say it was as a joke for David's birthday.
Yeah. Correct. When Moira is frantically packing her wigs, what are the name of the two wigs that don't like each other?
Oh, I have no idea. What are my choices?
Kelly and Rachel, Karen and Rhonda, Kristen and Robin, or Kayla and Roseanne? I would say Karen and Rhonda.
I'm going to say Karen and Rhonda too, because Karen.
It's Kristen and Robin, but that doesn't even matter.
Okay. That's like...
real.
People watch that show all seasons, every Sunday kind of level of trivia right there.
What does the sign say that Roland... does the sign that Roland adds to this town say? I know this without looking at the
thing.
Don't worry, it's his sister. Because it's the bend over backwards woman. So he adds, don't worry, it's his sister.
Oh, you didn't even give me a chance to answer that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just answered it.
Here's a good one. What is the name of the winery Moira makes the commercial for? Do you remember the name of the guy? That's all it's.
Give me my choices.
Okay. Herb F. Erflinger.
Erflinger. Fruit wine.
Bert Herken. Bert Herngeif or Bert Herb Ertlinger. Oh my gosh.
Herb Ertlinger. Fruit wine.
Yeah. Fruit wine's what they have around us a lot.
They do.
And it's tastes like fruit wine.
I don't know. Is it the difference between fruit wine and cider? I think it's the same thing.
Well, cider's carbonated.
Not always.
No?
No.
Shouldn't it always be carbonated?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm not a brewer.
I don't know. I love it when they taste the banana wine. Is there tomato?
Like, why would they even use fruit that's not from wherever they are in Canada?
I don't know. They wouldn't. I don't even think you can make, well, I'm sure you can make alcohol out of anything.
Yeah, but.
But I don't know about banana wine.
No, ew.
All right, what recipe are Moira and David trying to make when they fold in the cheese?
Macaroni and cheese.
Or lasagna, or quesadillas, or enchiladas.
Oh, enchiladas, that's right.
Yes. You fold it in.
How am I supposed to fold all this broken cheese?
Which celebrity did Alexis share her first kiss with? Prince Harry, Jared Leto, Adam Levine, or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Was it Prince Harry?
No. It's Jared Leto. I thought Jared Leto was the guy that gave David his sweater. Anyway.
It might be.
Oh, yes, it's true. Because the meme that's underneath that is, I mean, I like it because Jared Leto gave it to you and he was my first kiss, but I don't know if I like it.
Oh, okay.
I've watched this show too many times. Okay, what gift does Mutt surprise Alexis with? A bike, a dog,
bike.
New shoes, a new pillow. A bike. Which is funny because she doesn't know how to ride a bike. Okay, in high school, what was Stevie voted most likely to? Most likely to stay in Schitt's Creek. Most likely to get the guy. Most likely to get divorced first. Most likely to leave Schitt's Creek.
Most likely to stay in Schitt's Creek?
It is most likely to get the guy.
Oh.
She did often get the guy.
She did.
When do Patrick and David first meet? When Alexis hits Patrick at Cafe Tropical.
When he goes to get his license.
Yeah. Correct. What is the name of David's ex-boyfriend who does a photo shoot with Moira? Hunter Snow, Bradley Moon, Tommy Sunshine, or Sebastian Rain?
Sebastian Rain.
Yes. What are the names that are actually written on Alexis and David's cake?
I don't remember.
Amy and Donald, Alexa and Don, Alice
and
Drew.
Alexa and Don, wasn't it?
Or Alex and Davis.
What is it?
It's Alex and Davis.
Alex and Davis.
I can see David's face when he says that. Alex and Davis. When do David and Patrick host the open mic night? Oh, well, I'm sorry. Why do they? To get people interested in Rose Apothecary, to celebrate the renaming of the motel, to celebrate Alexis graduating, for Patrick to meet David's friends. Yeah, right.
The first one.
Yeah.
For the business. How many are there?
It doesn't tell me that.
Let's just do a couple more.
Yeah, there are only a couple more.
Okay.
What does the typo on Alexis's Elmdale College say?
I don't know.
Diploma say. Pubic relations, Alex Rose, public relationship, Alexis Rose. I think it's pubic relations.
I think so too.
Yes. What do Roland and Jocelyn name their baby boy? Roland, Moira, Johnny Shit. Roland, Moira, Shit.
Roland, Moira, Shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's right. What is not a lyric from A Little Bit Alexis? This we'll end on this because it's about Alexis, who our book character is about. I'm a cute, huge yacht. I'm a Maserati. I'm a Prada handbag. I'm a little bit single.
The first one?
I think it's, I'm a Maserati.
I'm a Maserati.
She actually says, I'm a cute, huge yacht. Which is what leads us into
yes,
It Happened
One Summer.
Yes, that's
actually a great segue. So now I can do my blurb?
Yes.
All right. Piper Bellinger, a Los Angeles socialite with a Peter Pan complex, is feeling like her world is crumbling around her. Her boyfriend basically tells her he's trading her in for a late model girlfriend in front of an entire party of onlookers. Feeling like she's losing her luster as a famous for being famous Instagram model, Piper pulls off one last stunt. This time, no one thinks it's cute. Piper's stepfather cuts her off and exiles her to Westport, Washington, a small fishing town with touristy charm. The place of Piper's birth. Piper and her sidekick sister Hannah are not given the warmest of welcomes by the weather or the townspeople, especially local hero and captain of the fishing / crabbing boat, Brendan, whatever his last name was.
Taggart.
Especially finds her the most irritating, and I have to have this woman, but there's in the worst kind of way, kind of irritating. As Piper and Brendan spend more time with one another, the ice melts, the hearts warm, and there's a whole lot of bedroom action with dirty talk that'll make even the devil blush, or maybe cringe.
Cringe being the operative word for me.
All right, so this time Megan is going to go through, she outlined the book, and I'll add in my notes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you basically did the whole, you hit all the beats. So,
I don't know how I come up with these things.
That was good. You come up with them basically on the fly.
I do.
I know. You need to put that put it in something. Instagram post, at least.
Yeah, I guess I can just copy and paste it.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
What did you think of this book?
I liked it until you convinced me I didn't.
No! Don't let me convince you otherwise. This is the first book that you really liked, and I...
Okay. So, I liked it, but I gave you trigger warnings. I gave, I was like, there's some stuff in here that's weird.
And I didn't believe you.
And then you believe me, you still didn't believe me. You read it, felt the same way, and then you still had to go look up other people's reactions.
Oh, no, because I had even worse of a reaction, and it wasn't just, you're like, there's some cringy things he says. And then you, like, you mentioned one as an example. And I was like, I was still defending it because I hadn't gotten to that
point.
You
hadn't gotten there yet.
And it's like, okay, well, I mean, Tessa Bailey's known for writing really steamy sex scenes. So, and I haven't read one of her books. This is the first Tessa Bailey I've read. So I'll just chalk it up to a steamy sex scene. And I know you're typically like, you're starting to get more comfortable with them, which is good because I'm easing you into the dark side of what's coming in October. but you still like tend to skip a lot. So I think when you pay attention, it's like, I don't know. You're prudish when you read.
I'm prudish in real life.
No, I don't think so.
I fast forward through the scenes and move in like on in shows.
Yeah,
like in shows. What?
Okay, in narrative fiction.
Okay,
you're like you're not. I don't know.
I am trying to get better.
No, and you are. Like the last book we read, or the last historical we read.
Yeah, was the last the, book
do
we
you
read?
Wanna, okay. Do you want to start a scandal? I think you were like more into those sex scenes than normal. Like enough that, and they were not skippable either.
They weren't. I had to read them.
Right.
These, I could not read them. It's like a train wreck.
I felt like all of these scenes were skippable, which meant they shouldn't have been there.
Oh, that's what we need.
Which is interesting. Anyway, I loved the opening. The first paragraph, the first page, it starts out with a bang. And I was like, oh, I love this book. Jonathan's having technical difficulty.
No, I'm not. I had forgot. I did earlier. Like our questions I pull up and I put on the screen in front of us.
Yeah.
Was gone. Yeah. So I had to make a new one. So we made new ones. We have a couple new questions or one new question. And I forgot to put the book boner level in there. So now it's in there.
Okay. So anyway, I really loved this book to start out with. You get an Instagram celebrity in her element, except not in her element because she just got broken up with by her boyfriend. Although, I mean, they make a big deal about how he's her boyfriend, but can you really be a boyfriend after 3 weeks?
Was it only 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah. It starts out, the unthinkable is happening. Her longest relationship on record, over in the blink of an eye. 3 weeks of her life wasted. That's funny. And so I thought, wow, okay, you didn't come right out and say, I've been dating this guy for 3 weeks and he dumps me. Like, you didn't have to say that. You casually drop it in there so that we just sort of intuitively know it's 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But you used the term 3 weeks in a different way, like showing that her life was wasted. I don't know. I just thought it was right off the bat. I was like, Tessa Bailey, you are a writing genius. And she is. This book stands up to the wrath I'm going to lay down on it.
Okay.
And a lesser written book could not do that. I have major problems with these characters. The writing is excellent.
Well, here I have one quote that was kind of like, it was like not really a red flag. It was an orange flag.
Okay.
It's like, that's different.
Well, I have a lot of those.
And it wasn't bad.
Okay.
But it was like, okay, I'll tuck that one away. It was, all right, so it's a little bit of a note and a little bit of a quote.
Okay.
At the party, we see her scan the room and learn that she's aging out of this crowd. She's 28.
Yeah.
And the quote is, an up-and-coming pop star who couldn't be a day older than 19. She didn't need tape from Milan to hold up her tits. Okay. But that's
what?
Different.
That's a guy thing. Like, I think that really resonates with women reading this. Because she's wearing a dress you can't wear a bra with. You don't even have secondhand knowledge of this because I cannot wear dresses I can't wear a bra with. But for smaller-chested women, they can kind of create a bra out of double stick tape.
Really?
Yes, that's what that's about.
Okay.
Yeah, they can create their own bra, and they make tape for your breasts.
But the other girl's so young, she just
doesn't need it.
She just puts on a dress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know how much you drop between 19 and 28 if you're like small-chested.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that's a thing. Like, I don't know. Anyway, you use the tape to push them together and create cleavage. If your breasts are like stuck on your chest wall, and you can just do that with a little bitty piece of tape.
Okay.
That's what that's about.
Well, it wasn't the scenario. It was the word tits. I haven't read it yet.
I think
in a book.
Really?
Yeah.
To me, that's the go-to word for small.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
B-O-O-B-S. That's the go-to word for bigger than a D cup.
Okay.
And nobody else, nobody's huge. Unless they're in a Talia Hibbert novel.
Okay. All right. So I learned something. There you go.
Yeah, to me, that's just how people see it. There's no good word for a woman's breasts other than breast, which is, that's the word.
I mean, unless they're described, but... like written, a description of what they look like. I just picture what I want to see.
Well, she is small chested.
Okay.
I think they talk about it a lot. And yeah, I think that's just sort of the consensus. Like, you call them tits if they're like a B cup or smaller.
Okay.
Not that, like, I mean, cup size is really relative to your body size. You can be like a 40B and that's big. And you can be like a 28B and that's like, I don't know, that could look equally as big. It depends on your breast shape and all kinds of things. I'm assuming her breasts are like perfectly round little teardrop and they're like very perky because her nipples are really high and they're really small and they're just like just enough that you can kind of squeeze them together with tape.
Yeah. I actually took good. I'm going to read the rest of these notes because I think it it opens, it sums up the opening pretty well.
Okay, so you read about the setup.
All right, so at the party, Adrian breaks it off with her in front of everybody. She brings nothing to the table, and she's getting old, and Adrian is an asshole. Deadly combo.
You know what? I didn't see him as an asshole either. I think he has a line like, of all the airheads I've dated, you are by far the worst. And I was like, yeah.
But... truthfully, she brings nothing to the table. She lives off her wealthy stepdad and rarely works.
Yeah.
To cope with the embarrassment of breakup and realizing her own mortality, she decides to act like she did as a 21-year-old and do crazy shit. She and her friend Kirby had an everyone they know... I don't have good handwriting. She and her friend Kirby had everyone they know meet them at Adrian's house, at a random house, break in and have a pool party. It wasn't a house, it's a hotel.
It's
not a house,
it's the Mondrian Hotel.
It's the Mondrian Hotel, yeah. So they break in and have a pool party.
Yeah.
And then chapter two opens with her in jail.
Yes. And she convinces the guard to let her go pee in the real bathroom, not the like the toilet that's cemented
just
to the wall.
Out in the open, yeah. So, I mean... and Schitt's Creek, Alexis had community service the first season.
Yeah, that's so true. I feel like this is the side of Alexis that we never got to see.
Yeah, we didn't see why.
We see Alexis talk a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And she is really selfish consistently all the way through. So that's where Piper veers off. Piper is not selfish.
No.
She's never selfish.
She's immediately not selfish.
Yeah, exactly. She's not selfish even when Adrian's broken up with her. She's sad because it is her longest relationship and she knows she's getting older. And who wants to be broken up with in the middle of a party
exactly.
in public? That's awful.
With all the phones.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Right. People are taking pictures of her.
Because everyone knows who she is.
And she, yeah. But at the same time, Alexis... I feel like Alexis Rose is never a very sexual character. And the moments that we see her, like her sexual past,
mm-hmm.
like there's a few of them in Schitt's Creek. Like when she's singing her A Little Bit Alexis song.
Yeah.
And when she's talking about Kiss Kiss in Tokyo or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And when she's talking about her relationship with Mutt and the things they do, it's always come across as weird to me. Because she doesn't seem, like, very sexy. This is, like, the sexy Alexis.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the bigger differences. And Piper's, like, really sexually mature.
Yeah. Well...
like, I like Piper in the sex scenes.
I didn't have a... No. Yeah, I did, too. I didn't have a problem with Piper in the sex scenes.
Yeah. And we'll get to those later. But that's one of my notes is like Piper like uses sex in a really mature way. Like she owns her sexuality and I really respect that. So I'm going to say a bunch of good things about Piper before I like, I'm not going to trash her, but I don't like her later on.
And then you like her again.
And then she's fine.
Then she's fine.
Yeah. But I really do like her sexual maturity. And like, even after, like, there's a scene where they're almost caught by his old, like, her, his father-in-law, his old father-in-law, his wife died. She doesn't get all embarrassed because it's obvious that they were just having sex in a public place.
In the hospital.
Yeah, she just, I like that she didn't get embarrassed.
And she drove all the way there.
She was just, right. She was just like, okay, well, I mean, it was obvious that we did this and you guys
are consenting adults.
You guys are important to each other. And like, she wasn't, I love that she wasn't embarrassed by that. And it was a really small moment, but she's just like, we did that. And it was fine. And she didn't talk about it. She just didn't, like, you know, like, weasel her way out. I would have, like, slunk out of that hallway. I would have, like, been going out the emergency exit if I if that happened to me. So, okay. So, setup. So, Piper's in jail. Dad cuts her off. Or stepdad cuts her off. The stepdad who raised her. He says, I really need you to learn from this mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his reasons that don't matter.
they don't. He says them and they never come up again.
Right. Because he just needed a really big reason.
Yeah.
And we got the really big reason. And it doesn't matter for the rest of the story.
No.
So it's not like it was like a plot point that got dropped.
It was big enough for him to be pissed about it.
Right. And her punishment, essentially, is that she must go to, for 3 months, she's going to be stationed at the town where she was born and her father died. And she has to learn about herself and she has to, like, become the custodian of her father's bar that he owned. So she's really upset, and her sister Hannah, who is a saint, decides to accompany her because she knows Piper is incompetent and can't handle life without her. Hannah has a modicum of, I don't know, intelligence and work ethic. Hannah goes, and it's really nice of her because she's giving up her career and her, this guy that she has a crush on. She has a crush on her boss. So then they get, so they go to Westport, Washington, and she's wearing her floppy Alexis Rose hat, and that's where she meets Brendan Taggart.
Brendan Taggart. Well, this is where you and I, we talked pre-show, and we had a disagreement, because I said, Daniel's cutting off Piper and sending her to Washington for her to grow up.
Yeah.
And I said, most people who get cut off don't get a place to stay, a checking account filled with cash, and a small business. You're cut off, but here's everything you need.
Yeah.
to thrive.
And I said, you know, for someone who's used to wearing, you know, Valentino to parties, who doesn't own a pair of jeans, it is a big deal to have, you know, to live in a place... I feel like it's a big deal. It was a big deal moving from Florida to the Midwest.
Yeah.
Where there was no Bonefish Grill. And
not where we live anyway. There is Bonefish, but they're up in Chicago.
Somewhere in the Midwest, there is a Bonefish Grill. Yeah.
Oh, Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis.
But we don't live near any of those places.
The problem is we do live near them, but we live far from them too.
No. We don't live. It's an event to go into the suburbs of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a major undertaking that has to be planned in advance. Younger people could do it. Yeah. But yeah, we don't live in a town that has a lot of amenities.
We have no amenities.
Well, I'm talking about the bigger town around us, not our tiny little podunk
village.
Town. Yeah. So it is a big deal if she's cut off. And what good would it do to absolutely cut her off? Then she would just end up going to her friend Kirby's house.
That's true.
Crashing on in one she of her many guest rooms.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't. She'd just hook up with the next guy. She'd go on drugs. Like, her life would be ruined. This actually gives her a fighting chance at changing herself.
That's true.
So I think it was a good punishment for her. And it wasn't, she wasn't being punished, obviously, because she turned everything around. She's, her stepdad created a learning opportunity for her. So she gets there. She, Brandon is sitting in the bar, which is called No Name.
No Name Bar.
There's no seats.
It's not even a bar. It's just like a place where they all go and they
bring their own
alcohol. They bring their own beer. They chip in to pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's just a place for them that the tourists can't go to.
Yeah. They sit on crates because there's no chairs. And yeah, it's just a hangout for the locals. But he sees this woman in a floppy hat looking up in the looking up and down. She comes in and he just automatically hates her.
Just by the look of her.
Number one point that I don't like about this book. Because then we get to the trope. Like, is it enemies to lovers?
Like, what else would it be, though?
Why?
She wasn't his enemy, though. Or...
He was never
He was her, not her enemy.
Right. She never thought of him as her enemy.
No.
But, and he just like took one look at her. And I get it. She looked high maintenance. And not only that, but she looked like somebody who was going to come in and like shake up his life and his town. And he doesn't want that kind of energy around. He doesn't, he likes his status quo and he wants to maintain it. And he just sees her and starts like seething and for no reason. Like, this is one of those enemies to lovers book. That
it's not, it
doesn't have a reason. It's not strong enough.
It's a, Brendan has some red flags. A trope.
Yeah, that is. That is so the trope of this book.
I wrote about No Name Bar.
Yeah.
What is it? The locals use it to escape the tourists. They all pay dues and chip in to keep it stocked. This is real communism and the only acceptable form. But yes.
Yeah.
The trope is Brendan has red flags and she's going to work around them.
Yeah. So then I just want to go through this really quickly, like the plot points.
Okay.
So we can finish that up. Then comes like the fun and games section, which is generally the everything after the introduction of the trope to the 50% mark.
Yeah.
So, and it's just them hanging out, being enemies and moving toward the loversness,
mm-hmm.
which happens really fast. Because everyone kind of decides, hey, Brendan, you're being a jerk. You should not. And he questions himself. Well, why am I being such an asshole to her? Like, what is this? Like, she's trying. Mm-hmm. And she's trying in the best way. So maybe I should be nice. So then, like, the next day, he falls in love with her.
It's you know what it is? It's like the Game of Thrones homing pigeon emails. Just let's just speed this up for the plot.
You can do that in film. You can't do it in a book.
No.
That's not an option in a non-visual medium.
Well, I said here in chapter 6.
Okay.
When they meet up at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And
that's one of my good parts. I like Brendan, the grocery store.
Brendan finds Piper in the grocery store early in the morning. She's asking Siri to give her easy meals to make. Brendan treats her like a middle school kid with a crush. Mean. She calls him out on it. He thinks about what the community means and what his mom would say. So.
Yeah.
So he does himself in. He puts himself in her shoes for a moment and helps her out.
Right.
But she said, what the fuck's your problem, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't do anything to you.
Yeah. And I like that. I respect that. I respect her for doing that.
And she's getting, you know what she's in the grocery store? She's getting ingredients to make her sister dinner to thank her for coming with her.
Right. Like, so automatically it's like, oh, Piper's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just doesn't know how to be.
Right.
So would you say that's the meet? Would you say that's the meet cute?
No, the meet cute is when he sees her, the fire.
When she like sets the, he says, "Don't set the kitchen on fire," and she does.
No. The meet cute is the first time they meet.
Okay. So it's the fire just, would be the spark, or the.
It's one of the
zing.
No, it's like it's one of those in Romancing the Beat, which our listeners probably don't care about. It's not really a beat. That's like just sort of in the fun and game section.
Yeah.
So there are different names for different beats. Romance has their own sort of names. But basically everything from 10% to 50%, it's sort of like ambiguous. They don't really have names for anything in there. And I just call it fun and games.
I like
because
that.
Because Save the Cat is a beat system.
Okay.
And that's what they call it.
All right. Look at that. I'm learning all new stuff.
And then like from after the midpoint at 50% to 80%, that's more fun and games. So it's like, that's why it's really hard to write a book.
Well, in a romance, 50% to 80% is supposed to be really fun and games. But this one was, we'll get there.
Yeah. I really like the part when they're in the grocery store and, you know, Brendan, we're in his routines now. He has routines that he does just to keep his life sane and just to give him something to do because he has a lot of days off. He's a fisherman.
Yeah.
And he goes out. He's either working out at sea or he's has no place to be on land.
Well, no, he has I think he goes to the gym and he has the bar.
He doesn't own the bar.
But he works at the bar.
No, he just goes there to drink.
You think? I thought he was the custodian of it.
No, nobody was the custodian.
Oh, it was just a building.
Well, they had a custodian, but they said he just basically do anything.
He just gets shit-faced and falls asleep at a booth.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. So Brendan doesn't have anything to do when he's on
land.
Now,
custodian, they mean like legal custodian.
No, they mean somebody who's there to clean up the bar. Like, clean it.
Really?
Yes.
I thought they meant, like, a legal custodian.
What like do you mean?
Like, a guardian of the bar.
No. And everybody has the same key.
Yeah.
It's very Northern exposure. Like, they all have everyone in town has the same key.
It's the key that opens everything?
Yes.
The one key to rule them all?
Yeah, I think Ed says it to Dr. Fleischman when he demands a lock for his door. It's like, well, okay, but everyone has the key to it. Talk about a fish out of water story. You can't have a fish out of water story and not mention Northern Exposure.
No.
Because it's the ultimate fish out of water.
I mean, and Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Second only.
Yeah, second only. Exactly.
So I like this line in when they're talking about Brendan's routines. He picked up a hand cart and headed west to the freezer aisle.
Headed west.
As somebody who has no idea of cardinal directions, that's so funny. And it's like, it just shows how important, like, they're his life.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal directions are Brendan's life. He lives his life by a compass in out at sea. So everything is cardinal directions,
which,
even the layout of the grocery store.
Which way is west right now?
I don't know, to my left, the way it normally is.
You're facing west.
How do you even know that? We're in the basement. There's no sun.
Because the east-west road is right there next to the house.
I don't even know which way that is in the basement. I get turned around just going down the stairs.
The east-west road is right here on my right.
Okay.
So east, you're west. Facing
so
west.
So west is behind me.
No. Because if you go that way, you'll end up in Indianapolis. If you go that way, you'll end up in whatever west is, St. Okay. Louis.
I feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. And
well, that's true. Two things can be true.
And right now we're in a bunker in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea. I'm basically, I'm cardinal direction blind. But Brendan is not, and that was a funny line. Yeah, he comes upon Piper, who's talking into her phone. She's talking, Siri, what is a meal with two ingredients?
Milk and cereal.
And he hears her and he's like, oh Lord, this woman, she needs help. I'm not going to be the one to help her. So he tries to avoid her until he just can't because he needs something down that aisle. And he decides, he's like, all right, just come and you'll get my spaghetti dinner. So he puts the spaghetti makings in her cart. And later on that day, she can't make spaghetti. She just dumps the brain of ground beef into a pan.
Ground beef. It does look like a brain.
That's what she said. She doesn't know that she have to, like, you know, cut it up into chunks and brown it all around. She's just trying to brown a block of ground beef. Meanwhile, she catches the towel on fire.
She didn't. Hannah did.
Well, Hannah leaves a dirty rag next to the stove.
It had Pine Sol on it.
It catches on fire and she like runs the pan down the stairs, out the bar and into the street. And Brendan sees her and has to rush to her.
And I think she even mentioned, like, I don't know if I can put water on this, because she knew if it was a grease fire or not.
Yeah.
So that was smart.
That was smart.
So she
although
just,
not smart enough to know whether or not she could put water on it. But yeah.
It was probably safer to just put a lid on it.
Oh, yeah. But, yes, true. So Brendan is eating dinner with his, like, part of his routine is he gets the same fish and chips from the same restaurant every Monday. He sees Piper, like, running out of the street, running out into the street with a flaming frying pan. And he's like, I've got to go save this woman. Because she obviously can't handle life.
As he's ordered fish and chips.
He's ordered fish and
Fox,
chips.
And Fox, his first mate, ordered shepherd's pie.
Pot pie.
Oh, pot pie. It's pot Sorry. Pie. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Fish and chips and pot pie.
Quite literally.
Megan took a break, so I had to pause it. And that's where we were.
Fox runs out to help Hannah, escorts her down to the record shop so he can get the would-be lover some alone time.
Yeah.
Brendan offers Piper his dinner, his fish and chips, and it's amazing. And he eats Fox's pot pie, but he never eats pot pie. So it's a big deal. She, like, forces him to bite into it.
Yeah.
And he says something like, she's like, well, just take a bite if you don't like it. And he's like, no, I don't take bites of things. I eat the whole thing, regardless of whether or not I like it. Okay.
I eat 100% of my pot pie, 100% don't like it, 100% don't care.
Yes. Which is odd for somebody who has such routines. You'd think he'd build routines around, you know, things that he... And he has built routines out of things he likes. But then why go all in on crap he doesn't like? He's basically saying he goes all in on everything.
Yeah, just a forerunner.
Foreshadowing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to skip that. They start dating... We get to the midpoint mark is the big storm, because, you know, it's a fisherman novel, so you've got to have a storm at sea.
Of course.
There's got to be some kind of peril at sea. That's...
I was hoping there wouldn't be.
I was hoping there would be, because I think that's romantic. Not in the sense of, you know, hearts and chocolates, but romance in the sense of, like, the romantic era.
A widow's watch.
Yes. So we got to see her little widow's walk as she walks through a typhoon.
Yeah, she goes to his house.
To be nearer to him.
To be near to his scent.
Yeah. I don't think it was his scent in this.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I've got to give Tessa Bailey credit where credit is due.
Okay.
He doesn't have a scent. Well, I guess he
kind of does.
He smells like the sea a little bit and fish.
Sea and sweat is what she always describes him as.
Ew. But that's, I'm glad that's all she smells. She doesn't smell random notes of lemon and cedar that you don't know. Like, does his skin just naturally smell like lemon and cedar? It's just, I'm the only one not magical enough to have awesome scented skin like a strawberry shortcake doll.
He smells like pineapples and junipers. Like, what are two things that would never be near each other?
Well, I love that joke in Schitt's Creek. And David comes into the office where Stevie's working and he says, hey, that cedar out in the shed, can I have it? And she says, how do you know how to recognize cedar? And he's like, oh, I had a cologne once that was that it was supposed to be reminiscent of a car crashing into a cedar forest. Oh, that was one of my favorite jokes. Okay. I think that's maybe why I didn't like this book, because it was missing a David Rose. But you cannot recreate David Rose.
Yeah. You would have hated it if she tried.
Yeah. And try writing Moira into a book. Those are basically the romances I write.
Yeah.
I write Moira as my character.
You do. You do. Oh, my gosh. She just dropped her mic. She dropped the mic.
Not on purpose. Not cool. My hand caught on the
mic drop. All right.
Hand caught on the cord. Okay, and then The Dark Night of Soul, which is really stupid. Not really stupid. It's.
Oh, you want to go all the way there?
It's a lot. I'm just trying to go through the whole thing, and then we'll do our questions, and then we'll be the end.
All right.
Dark Knight. On the eve of one of his fishing trips, Piper hasn't officially declined the invitation that one of her friends gave her to her own comeback party.
Yeah, her hotel extravaganza blew up. No, that didn't blow up. Her disappearance from it blew up. They're like, yeah. Where is Piper Bellinger?
Right.
And like, oh, girl, you're going viral. Like, you'll make six figures.
By wearing this dress party.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. So she hasn't
That's probably right.
Yeah.
It's awful.
She hasn't said no because it just didn't seem right. And it's not that she's keeping her options open, although that would be healthy if you are 3 weeks into a relationship to keep your options open for the rest of your life. Brendan takes it as a sign that she's leaving.
I got this one.
Her options open. Okay. Jonathan's got it.
Chapter 28. I basically summed up each chapter.
Okay.
Everything was going well, so Brendan was waiting for the other shoe to drop, is what happened.
Yeah, he was.
Piper gets a call from Daniel, who is shitty, but he says he's still coming to
Daniel's the stepfather who made her this pariah.
Yeah, and the girls had a plan to get back to LA by sprucing up
the bar
and showing Daniel that they're responsible.
Yeah.
But in the sprucing up of the bar, they got to know the town and loved it and like really felt alive in the town.
Yeah.
The two girls.
Yeah.
But they still invited Daniel and he shittily says he's still coming. Brandon gets angry thinking Piper still unsure. She's not sure if she wants to stay or go back to LA. She's legitimately, and she forgot to cancel Daniel and Kirby. No, she was sure she wanted to stay.
Even if Daniel, she was sure she wanted to stay, but even if Daniel came, it doesn't mean she has to go back to LA. No. So that part didn't mean anything. No. And her not canceling on Kirby, she was trying to find ways to let her down easily, and she just couldn't. Yeah. And then she was thinking, well, I can just go back for the night,
and come
dress
back.
Up in this outfit, make $100,000, and come back to Westport.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal for her to decline the invitation.
Nope.
Brendan freaks out.
Brendan, being a baby, and wants to prove his self-fulfilling prophecy right,
right,
storms out to sleep in the boat. Yeah. Piper says, I'm going to be there in the morning, and I'll see you all for your fishing trip. You can't stop me. And Dummy says, and if you're not there,
it means you don't love me.
You don't love me. Bad form, Brendan. In the words of Captain James Hook.
That's true.
Bad form.
Luckily, Abe has been written into this book as a character, creating more conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course she would be there so of course she says yes. Yeah, of course I'll be there. I love you. That's what that means.
Yeah, you're not going to storm off and just storm off like that and think I don't care about you anymore.
Right. Of course I'll be there to see you off.
But there's an old man, Abe, that she like every morning helps him. She walks him up a flight of stairs so he can read his paper overlooking whatever he's overlooking.
Yeah.
This dude falls and busts his head on the sidewalk and no one can get to him for like 15 minutes.
So she can't leave him to get to the dock in time. So, and she knows, she's like, oh, he's going to think I don't love him. And he's thinking, she doesn't love me. And then he goes off to sea.
Yeah. She texted him too. Hey, Abe fell. I got to be with Abe.
Right. But
or he's
going to
die.
But she knew like that in the harbor itself, they don't have good cell reception. So once you pull away from the harbor, it's like, it's nothing. So she wasn't expecting it. She wasn't expecting a text back. So she's basically screwed at this point. We don't see what happens for 2 days, but she's probably sleeping or something the whole time,
mm-hmm.
licking her wounds. And, then Piper's bar opening, which the whole town and Brendan are supposed to attend on Labor Day, big Labor Day bar opening party.
I thought that was cool.
What?
That, okay, no one shows up.
Yeah.
And that's what made Piper, Hannah's like, Piper, just go. This is a flop.
Yeah.
Go to LA. You have a future in LA.
Yeah.
Brendan obviously isn't here. The town isn't here. Just go.
Yeah.
So she does.
Yeah.
But Brendan isn't there because there is an oil rig on fire and they had to reroute around it, which took like 3 extra hours.
And the whole town doesn't show up because they're watching the news because they're very invested in their town's fishermen because that's their livelihood.
There was a guy who worked on the rig that lived in the town.
Oh.
And they're like, we can't party when Joe's on the rig and we might be dead.
Yeah.
Like, we have to make sure Joe's okay.
Yeah.
And he was. And the party was freaking booming at 11 o'clock.
Brendan pulls into the thing. He's already kind of feeling shitty about what he did.
Like, yes, he is.
So he knows, like, you know, it really wasn't fair of me to put that stipulation, like, if you're not there, it means you don't love me. That was not fair of me to do that. And I apologize. And because he pulls out this picture of them together and he sees the way she's looking into the camera and basically at him.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes a note on the back, like, have faith in me. I love you. And he's like, oh, crap. Like, I
totally didn't have faith in her.
Yeah.
Like, and no one's ever had faith in her, and I was the one guy that was supposed to, right. And I didn't.
Right. And then he gets her text, and it says, wait for me, I love you, I had an emergency. And he's like, oh, crap. Like, I could have just waited 20 minutes to pull away from the dock, and
Abe is hurt.
And Abe is hurt. Abe's okay. He shows up at
Abe
the bar,
is fine.
A bar opening.
But that was, Brendan turns up at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
the bar is slammed because the whole town came out to support them.
And Fox rushes to Hannah's aid behind the bar, slinging drinks.
Yep.
And the whole bar kind of like looks at Brendan when Brendan is like frantically cannot find Piper. Like, yeah, because of you, you jerk.
Yeah.
And then everyone at the bar is telling him how Piper improved their lives.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit.
Abe's like, she walked me up those steps every day. And
Opal, their grandmother, their long lost grandmother's like, oh, I was a recluse until my granddaughter's like, breathed life into me.
Yeah.
And then all the ladies were like, yeah, like she gives us makeovers and.
Yeah, she's so vibrant.
Yeah. So everybody loves her.
Right.
Everybody loves the bar.
Yep.
Because it was paid homage to Henry.
They renamed the bar Cross and Daughters because Henry Cross, their father, who they're getting to know vicariously through the bar and through the town.
Yes. So Brendan rushes to Los Angeles really fast.
Well, I think he jumps on a plane. Seattle to LA. I think there are flights.
Like, couple hours.
Yeah.
2-3 hours.
Yeah.
So he shows up at the club.
Where Piper is flying in on an electric.
Unicorn. And she hates it. She hates every second about it.
Yeah.
Because LA sucks. I mean, I even wrote this. I can't think of a place I've never been to in this country that I don't ever want to go to more than Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with it because I think I'd be a standout as somebody who's really real and like kind of above the bullshit. But I don't know. I don't know. I've never been there. So I'm sure there are real people in LA.
I'm sure there are too. I don't want to go.
I wouldn't want to go unless it was for work. Like, I would, like, yeah.
Yeah, so he saves her. They make up. They go back home. They move in. Hannah goes back to LA, and
we don't know.
And it sets up for the book 2.
Yeah.
For her
Hannah
and Fox.
And Fox are books 2.
Yeah.
Friends to lovers.
All right, so that was a terrible breakdown. We're all over the place, and it was long. All right. If you're still with us an hour in, thank you. I hope you're on a road trip or you're commuting. So what worked?
The Piper business up front. The setup worked, and then the end worked for me.
That's good.
I liked when Piper and Brendan were enemies. And I liked how it all came together at the end.
Yeah.
From the dark night till the resolution.
Okay.
I really liked that. I'll just go into what didn't work for me, and that is them together.
Okay.
I just hated them together so much. I thought, and they deserved each other. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been together. I think Piper turned Brendan into a controlling asshole. And it's interesting because they talk about how nice he is, but he's not. If you pay attention more to his actions, he is not a nice guy. He is a scary, controlling, potentially abusive asshole.
Okay.
And he's just wrapped up in this nice guy package, which makes him even scarier.
So what worked for me was I really liked how Piper never was complete in LA. Like something was missing and she was trying to fill a void.
Yeah.
And the void was Westport.
Okay.
And she went to Westport and just was revitalized. She became like a way better version of herself.
Okay.
That worked for me. I really like. Okay. So everyone, if you're not new, you know. If you are new, I love redemption stories. And to me, that was as close to a redemption story as you're going to get out of this book.
I love redemption stories too, and it didn't go far enough for me. I don't think she was redeemed.
Well, that's why I said as close as you're going to get in this book.
Yeah.
I just, that's what worked for me.
Okay.
What didn't work for me was Brendan talking during the sex scenes.
We have to talk about this.
We will talk about that a lot. That did not work.
No.
The sex scenes could have worked if he just shut his mouth.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you want to talk about that now?
Turn in your books, kids, to page 221.
It probably is, isn't it? Oh, you know what else didn't work for me? Hang on a second. While we look...
Well, a lot more things didn't work for me.
The whole thing of, her mom warning her about falling in love with a fisherman.
Yeah.
Because they die. Statistically speaking, that's bad advice.
Okay.
There's a memorial for him because he's the only one from that town that's ever been eaten by the ocean. That's one guy.
Yeah. But Brendan's known a few people who've died.
Okay.
I don't know.
The chance of Brendan dying is pretty much zero because he's the captain and he's not down where you're going to get sucked up by the ocean.
Right. Right.
And he outfitted his boat to be naval level top quality safety.
Yeah.
So, and there's too much damn fish in this book.
No, there is not. No, but I will warn you. You will be, if you're a fish person, if you're a fish eater, you will be very hungry when you read this book. I was like reading this book at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I just need a big piece of halibut right now. I was craving fish the whole time because the way it was written, it was just so fresh and good. And I cannot get good fresh seafood here.
I was thinking whenever they're eating fish, I was thinking that Frasier episode when they went to wherever they went.
Yes, the Caribbean.
And he, it kept going wrong.
Yes.
And he ordered fish, I'm sorry, we're out. We can give you a steak. He's like, a steak? I came all the way to Caribbean for an artery clogging steak. And then Martin goes, you didn't tell me you had steak, because that would have been me.
He's like, we are 10 feet from the ocean. Where your supply is. Yeah.
You didn't tell me you had steak. All right. Yeah. So Brendan says some cringy shit.
Starting out. Okay. So he asks a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going hard into this dirty talk because it was it was the first time I was like,
And that's what I told you.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is when they're on the...
The hospital was the first one.
No, I don't mean penetrative sex. I mean every time they're together sexually. Oh. I don't understand dirty talk where you're asking rhetorical questions based on... I'm not a great rhetorical question person. I tend to answer them very matter-of-factly, and I know I shouldn't, but that's just what I do, and it doesn't make it, because rhetorical questions don't make any sense. So anyway, he's talking about, is this during... Oh, yeah, this is in the hospital during sex. He did some gross things during their first encounter, although the champagne thing was pretty hot. She makes him drink champagne off her breasts. She pours it down her chest.
Oh.
That's hot. And then he's can I put my hands up your skirt? Are you 12?
I let that's it go.
Gross.
I let that go.
Okay.
I shouldn't have, and I should have went back to that. But I forgot about it. But that was what the fuck is this?
Okay, so...
And I know consent, yeah, but...
I think he just asks for consent in gross ways.
Yeah.
In ways that either seem... That seem really immature.
Yes. Yes.
And are it's so immature, it's a turnoff.
I'm
because
glad
it's
you
either
jumped in on that.
I'm picturing a little boy for the first time, with these wide eyes. Which is not sexy. And either that or he's just so, I don't know. like the rhetorical questions, and like, so she's like, okay, they're having sex, and this one, at one point they have a lot of sex, and this one scene, she's like already screaming, she's into it, they're doing it, and he's like, scream for it, baby, whine for my cock, no one can hear us. Like, she already is, dude. What more do you want from her?
Yeah.
Like, what?
That's
how much validation do you need? She is already into it.
That's a good point. Can I do the hospital one? Because I have notes on that.
Yeah.
So they go to the hospital because of the storm. One of his crew members gets a concussion, so he goes to the hospital with him. So Piper jumps in his truck, drives it to the hospital.
Because she doesn't know if it's him.
She doesn't know if it's him, so understandable.
Yeah.
She's not wearing underwear.
But she's wearing pants.
But she's wearing pants.
She's
but
not she's wearing a skirt,
though. Oh, okay. That's fine, then.
Yeah, I know.
That's fine.
But he says, did you drive over here? Okay. I thought you were dropping it.
No. I said, Piper sees him in the hospital. He's fine. They have sex in the hospital. And this could have been way hotter if not for the dialogue. He says to her, you drove here in my truck with a bare pussy. Gross. Why would you say that?
Just those words put together, they just don't have like a very good rhythm. It's not the word. It's like, you're already done with the sex. Like, and it wasn't bare. It's not like her pussy was on the seat.
Yeah.
She was wearing pants. She's wearing pants.
If she's wearing a skirt, that would have been different.
Yeah.
Because, like, he could have been, like, dying. What are you doing?
She didn't want to wear the same underwear she had on last night after she had taken a shower. I get it.
Okay.
That's why she didn't have underwear on. It wasn't like, I'm going to seduce him with my no underwear and yoga pants. You can't wear boxers under yoga pants.
If it was a skirt, she could have.
Yeah.
But yoga pants, who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, Brendan didn't have a condom. They were hemming and hawing. And then she explains that she had a physical as clean and is on birth control. He says, you know, he had a physical and is also clean.
There's only one thing you can, like, you have to write that exact, like, verbatim. You have to write that scene verbatim because you have to have the condom talk if you don't want your characters to have a condom. And why would either of them have a condom at this point? Because both of them are rushing to the hospital.
You have to say that. It can't be, I don't have a condom. It's fine. I'm good. Me too. Let's go.
No, it has to be explicit.
You have to explicit? Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm good could mean it's okay. I'm good. I have herpes.
Oh, like it knocked up?
I want to do it.
Just do it already.
I know. Exactly.
The lost episode. We have to redo that one.
I know. So, yeah, his talk is like questions, asking for more validation, calling her honey, which is odd because honey to me is like a derogatory word. Like when he calls her honey, it's like, are you making fun of her? Or is this like a real term of endearment for you? Anyway, he calls her baby. And that is just so skeevy because there's all kinds of Brendan internal dialogue in this book. Mm-hmm. And it's all very, I want to take care of my baby. Like it's very daddy-ish and like, ugh.
Yes.
And then he'll come out and say a line here and there like, oh, I know she is an independent woman, blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, you just threw that in there so you don't look like a total douchebag. But you are a total douchebag.
Can I read some cringy lines?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
To the cringy lines.
What do you have? Let's compare cringy lines.
I have page 267.
You go first.
267 to 269 is when she sticks his hand in his butt. Like, that's pretty cringy to me. And not only that, like, they're having sex in a bed for the first time. Like, he is so into it. He is about to, like, he's about to be done anyway. And then she, like, It said she snuck her middle finger down the split of his backside and clenched it inside the puckered entrance. Now she just made her hands all shitty.
I'm not gonna.
Okay,
if you're into that, you're into that.
I know. No. I know, and that's fine. Like the prostate is there. It gives men a lot of pleasure. I don't have anything. I don't. That's fine. Like great. For when that happens. The first time you're having sex in a bed, that's what you do. And she does it to be like, to be weird. Like, she doesn't do it because, like, oh, maybe he'll have a better orgasm if I do this. Because he was already going to have the best orgasm of his life.
Yeah.
Because he was with her and they were both really into it. And it was all like this dirty talk extravaganza. And it's just like, it's to me, it was like such a narcissistic move by her. It's like, you're okay. Your attention isn't completely focused 100% on me. I'm going to flip the script so it gets your attention even more. Like, and I'm going to do something that's shocking so that you remember it. It's just so like. Here is Piper at her most attention-loving.
Yeah.
Like, she already has his attention, and you do that, and it's just like, just why? He didn't have any problem. Like, do that 10 years to liven up, you know, your sex life after it's...
Yeah, don't shoot all your bullets yet.
Exactly. And then, and I think it was put in there, and then... And then she, like, later on they say, so we're not going to talk about the finger thing. And then he does, like, he, like, whatever, he, like, licks her asshole later. And so then they say, we're not going to talk about the tongue thing later. So their book ended, and I guess it's, like, cute in a, like...
Not your cup of tea way.
In a not my cup of tea way. Yeah.
Right, my turn.
No, wait. So in between then, he says, like, she hasn't come yet. And he says, I satisfy my girlfriend's pussy every time. Okay, so every time. It's been literally like zero times. Because you haven't satisfied it yet. Well, no. They had sex in the hospital.
Yeah.
One time have you satisfied his girlfriend's pussy. Like, you don't even like... This is like the joke that isn't true. And so it's not funny. Like, you can make fun of somebody, but if it's not accurate, it's not funny.
A joke has to be true to be funny.
A joke has to be true to be funny.
It has to have a semblance of truth.
The same with dirty talk.
Yeah.
And the problem I have, like, well, yet another problem I have with his dirty talk is none of it's true. It's like, he says these outlandish things. Like, he says earlier, he's like, this bed's not strong enough for what we're going to do to it. Yes, it is. It holds up just fine. It's not even real dirty talk. You're just saying shit.
That was the problem with the dirty talk. Like, I'll read a couple of mine that I thought was weird.
Yeah.
You're tighter than sin. I said, what the WTF does that even mean?
I have that written in this book all the time, WTF.
Come on, baby, let's have it. Show me what I do with that high maintenance pussy. Again, WTF. Like, why would you say that? And just, this might be a me thing, but all the blaspheming during their intercourse.
I didn't have a problem with
that. I did. I mean, if we're trying to be inclusive, stop putting just Jesus. Let's get some other, higher beings in there.
I don't know. I hated their sex. Oh, and then there's the jeans scene. This was like the pinnacle.
She's scowling at me as if I did it. This
is the pinnacle of cringiness. So he takes her shopping because she deserves it because she's so pretty. This is the problem I have with this book. She deserves it because she's so pretty. She's just so pretty and skinny and hot with her cute little tits. Like... She just deserves everything that every crab I've ever caught. And I'm going to take her shopping and I'm going to like spoil her rotten. And
This didn't hit me at all.
I was starting to hate Piper. It was like Piper is like this, like, incapable woman who looks good in clothes and is nice to people who are nice to her. Great. You love your sycophants. You love people who are bowing at your feet, telling you how pretty you are. How hard is it to be mean to, like, how hard is it to be like, to have to be nice to these poor townspeople? And that she does, like, he falls in love with her because she does a week's worth of cleaning. But because she's so pretty,
she deserves the world.
She deserves everything and all of his money. And he has a lot of it. And yeah, he just wants to take care of her. And like, she didn't. That's not a redemption story. Pretty girl does a week's worth of cleaning a bar. Every woman does that and doesn't get her Prince Charming.
And here's how much we were not on the same page as that. And I was not even thinking of that. I thought, I was like, oh, Piper's starting to like mature up and think about money. Like, she's like, these jeans are $100. We can't get these.
That would have been cute if he didn't fall in love with her because she cleaned a bar.
Yeah.
But the fact that he fell in love with her and he fell so hard, he was willing to, like, give her, like, he was, like, wants to, like, he's not just in love. He is, like, obsessed with her because she's pretty.
Yeah.
And because she's not just pretty, but she also cleans.
This thing. I don't clean.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to the, so he's rewarding her now, and his friend Fox is like, well, you can't just give all women, you know, chocolate and flowers. Romance means something different to everyone. Like, if it was Hannah, I'd buy her records. And that was great. Like, I love what Fox said.
I like Fox. I like Fox better than Brandon.
I know.
Brendan.
So Fox tells him good advice, and he starts thinking, what is Piper like? Expensive shit.
That's true.
So, yeah. And so he takes her to this fancy motel, and he takes her on a shopping spree. So they're in the jeans store, and she's trying on a bunch of pairs of jeans.
Fancy
and
motel or hotel?
Whatever.
It's a huge what difference. Oh, you said a fancy motel. I mean, the Roses opened up fancy motels. That's how Schitt's Creek ended.
If there's a lot of like fancy roadside motels lately.
Yeah.
That's like a trend. I guess that's what I was thinking. But this is definitely a hotel.
Yeah. In
hotel.
Seattle.
Yes. So he takes her to the Nordstrom or whatever. And
we'll call it Nordstrom.
And he buys her jeans while like going down on her, and
kind of
okay. So I was just thinking, this woman is not buying these jeans, and she's dripping wet all over these jeans that other people will try on.
She almost has to buy them now, doesn't she?
Well, and luckily he does. He buys every pair. And that's why I'm like, thank God he spoiled her in that regard. Because, yeah, she's like, she lets him in the changing room and he's like undressing her and dressing her back up. And that's fine. That would be really hot if it was a skirt or a shirt.
Jeans.
Or just like she didn't have like jeans and she's like dripping lymph fluid, because that's what women's wetness is like lymph fluid that drains out of like glands that become as erect as a male's erection. So she's leaking body fluid on these jeans. Like, I was just so disgusted. And he's dirty talking her in like in the thing of these jeans. And then he says something that cannot be.
Is it the O.J. Simpson line?
What was that? I don't even remember.
Something like, this is mine.
Yeah, he says that several times. This pussy is mine.
Yeah, that's what O.J. Simpson said to Nicole Brown, and then he murdered her.
Yes. Oh, he said, like, okay, so they're doing this. I don't know, it's not even like oral sex. He's just like staring at her vulva as she's trying on jeans.
It's for educational purposes.
He's like licking his lips as he's staring at her. It's just so, I'm trying to figure out the blocking of this scene, and I'm like, just lick her or something. Like, do something. He just, like, he pulls her underwear to the side, kind of feels her, and just is staring at her.
This reminds me of a lecture I went to at Columbia University in the early 90s. If you don't know what that is, you have to listen to the last episode.
Yeah. He asks her, okay, because he's
two episodes
out,
ago.
He asks her, can I see? Like, weird.
See what?
See, like, are you 12? This is weird. Like, I don't know. It's just the way he asks for consent. It's like he's so desperate and immature.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. So then he says, going to spoil you with my credit card now. Like, just use a fucking pronoun. Please. Like, he doesn't use pronouns, and neither do the townspeople. Like, the women are like, told her not to cry. Like, what's wrong with I? I told her. We told her. That normal people use pronouns. That is not how people speak conversationally. Just taking off the pronoun, going to spoil you with my credit card now. Like, that's not better.
Oh, what that was.
That's not better than I'm going to spoil you with my credit card now. Let's continue with the episode. There's some weird, creepy noises going on in our house. I don't know.
I thought your phone was ringing.
I thought your phone was ringing.
All right, so let's go on with the questions, shall we?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. How well do you think the author built the world?
It was perfect. Like, that part was perfect.
Yeah. Like, this, I liked the book.
The town of Westport was perfect, and Piper's world in LA was also perfect. Like, yeah. She got the clothes right.
Nailed it.
She got everything right.
Nailed it.
And it's sometimes is hard for authors to get pop culture right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on all points there.
Yeah.
All right. So, favorite character. Mine is different. It's out of the box.
Okay.
My favorite character was the town of Westport.
Yeah.
And everyone in it.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it. The only thing that could make it better if it was on the East Coast.
Which it's not that far-fetched. Like, this town could be like on the island of Nantucket or Cape Cod. I felt like it would have been.
The town I was thinking of, what was the movie? I actually watched it with your mom because you didn't want to watch it. Or you went to write, or probably you went to write. I think it was called Fisherman's Friend. It was about like a shanty singing group in Wales.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think we should do that movie for this show.
Really?
It's a rom-com.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was like a fishing town in Wales, and that's the town I kept picturing.
Oh.
Which was probably a lot more like majestic. Well,
yeah,
maybe
I
not
was
because
picturing...
of the mountains in the northwest.
Yeah, true. But now, this isn't the mountainous part of the northwest.
Well, I'm choosing that it is.
Okay.
Not majestic, but like quaint. I'll
yes.
use that word.
Yeah, quaint.
So my favorite character is the town of Westport.
I don't have a favorite character.
Okay.
Maybe.
So like I guess I didn't
Daniel,
really either.
Daniel. The stepdad who banishes her to the town.
The guard on, or the cop on duty that lets her use the real bathroom.
Yeah. No, I don't even care. No, she succumbed to Piper's.
She did.
Cutesiness.
She did. All right, so how do the characters change throughout the story? I think we talked about that.
We did.
Enough.
I think Brendan, I think...
I don't think he changed. Maybe he, like...
No, he changed several times because he changed.
So he's a changeling.
He changed a lot. Like he changed his mind and decided to start treating Piper well.
Yeah.
And helping her out because he saw her doing, you know, a modicum of helping herself. And so he changed that way. He changed his routines. He changed everything for her. And he even says, like, he's frequently self-assessing, which is good. He's not without his merits.
Yeah.
It's just he has this big dark side that's never brought up. And he even scares Piper at the end. And that's not okay. Like, she is crying and begging him to stay. And he's like, nope, I've already made up my mind. Like, you're leaving. Like, because you're not 100% all in, you're not giving every option up about a life without me. I'm not your only reason for living. I don't want you. That is huge red flag. Like, yeah. I don't even know if that's that's abuse right there.
Even if he realizes he was wrong. Because he did.
Abusers realize they're wrong all the time.
Okay.
I don't know. This seems to be a pattern, like his possessiveness and the way he freaks out. And he says, at some point, like, I know this girl is high maintenance and being with her is going to be a problem that I'm going to have to constantly check.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm not. My response to abuse is leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if people who are abusive can be rehabilitated ever. But, and I don't know if he's like that. I mean, that thing, like trying to cut out every option besides him after 3 weeks of being in a relationship with her, that's bad. Like, that's not romance hero. That is abuser. That, and like that to me, this book is irredeemable because of that.
Yeah.
Plus other things, like he gaslights her a lot.
He does gaslight her a lot. He does do that.
He basically emotionally kidnaps her by like the whole time the whole time when they're getting together, they're mm-hmm. getting to the 50% mark, or they're getting past the 50% mark even. She's trying to keep her options open because she knows...
You should.
She's there. Yeah, you should. You're just dating. This is not like I meet the person and we're going to spend... Like, these are my options close. Like, they're just dating. And he needs to realize that. And he doesn't. He just kidnaps her. Like, he makes her... spend the rest of her life there. Like, she's warning him. She's trying to keep it light. She's trying to keep mm-hmm. it, like, all about the sex. And I respect it, the times when he's like, no, you're not going to turn this into all about sex. Because at least you're stating it outright. I respect that. But then, at one point, after she's all in, he has a point where he's like, oh, she might leave. This might be a problem. Dude. She's been saying that the whole time. But you've convinced her to put her entire life aside. Granted, it's a life she didn't want.
Yeah.
And he lucked out with that. But you don't get to make that decision now. Once you made her be all in and drop her every other option, like, you have to also be all in. It's... I hated him so much. And then Hannah defends him. She's like, at one point, that's just what guys do. I wrote in the book, like, the dream of the 60s are alive in Westport. Which is close enough to Portland.
Oh my God, if you're not singing that song right now, you don't know what she's talking about. If you do know what she's talking about, you're totally singing that right now in your head.
Yeah. And then Piper even gaslights Hannah a bit, because there's this moment where she's talking to Hannah about Fox, like, are you sure you don't like Fox? And Hannah's like, no, I don't. And Piper says something like,
is that gaslighting? Is that kind of like middle schoolish?
No. I think in the way she's doing it, it's on page 293. And it was, I don't think it's intentionally written as gaslighting.
So, yeah, I didn't take it as that.
You sure, friends? Pretty obvious he's a ladies' man. I wouldn't want you to get hurt or... And then she said, Pipes, I'm not interested. Swear to God. And so she tries to invoke interest. She's trying to get Hannah to admit that she likes Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And then she warns her against the interest, like leading Hannah to, number three, vehemently deny her own feelings that she is feeling. It's weird. It's like she's trying to get Hannah to admit that there's interest so that she can chastise her for having interest. It's this weird thing that she does.
That is weird.
I think that that's just I think it's written to be very light, but then at that point I started reading everything as like, well, this book is dark and it's just brushed off as a comedy. And there's lots of comedic things. This book has its merits. It just, Brendan is not one of them because of his abusive nature.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Because this is a well-written book.
Yeah, but no one wants him in bed either.
No.
So hopefully Fox won't dirty talk like Brendan.
I have a feeling he's gonna.
I have a feeling all of her books are like this.
All right, so BBL, scale of 1 to 10, 1.
Yeah, same.
1.
Like, this is not sexy sex at all.
No.
This is... I don't know. Not.
No.
Not hot. Just the rhetorical questions alone. Great, check in. How's it working for you? Is this good? Like, do you want harder, softer, whatever, faster? I don't know what... Real questions are fine. Questions assessing performance are fine. Questions like...
I'm just thinking.
Begging for compliments during sex, not fine. Like, that's such a turnoff.
Deeper. Does not compute. All right. I have nothing else. This is a long episode. You have anything you want to add?
No.
Well.
This book is so dichotomous for me because it started out well and I love the ending. I'm just wrapping up. So I apologize if you like read it. Definitely read it. Yeah, I'm not telling you that it's a good read and hopefully you don't get out of it what I got out of it, which is like he really is an alpha hole. It's just people say he's nice, so we're supposed to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. But I like the book more than you did. But yeah. I did warn you about Brendan.
Yeah.
All right.
And
so
yeah.
Next week, are we back on a book or are we going to just
Next week is a book and a guest.
Oh, that's right.
A book and a guest.
I have to get on that book.
Yep.
Is it on the Kindle?
Yes.
Okay, Next week we're reading
The Intimacy Experiment, and we have our special guest, our pleasure-based sex educator.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Sarah. What is her last name right now? Brandon.
It's your sister.
Sorry. My mind went blank. I apologize.
All right. Okay. Till next week. Goodbye.